Well, you can be seated. Welcome to Stronger Together Sunday and welcome online. So glad you're here. If He is for us, who can be against us? What a God that we have. Pastor Dean, happy 55, right? All right. So, yeah, exciting. What's that? I still didn't hear. Oh, senior discount now. All right. Okay. All right. 55-cent coffee or something like that. Okay. Great. Well, what a God that we have, that we can sing His praises. We often say that our teens are not the future church. They're also our current church. And so glad they could be involved in ministering to us. And wow, what a blessing that is. Well, today is Stronger Together Sunday. If you would go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 3, we're going to look at Genesis 2 and 3 this morning. But what do you think of when you think of stronger together? What does it really mean to be together? How can we be stronger as opposed to being alone? Ecclesiastes 4:9 says this, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor." You see, God calls us to be together. Our problems are lessened and our joys increase when we're together. And there's all kind of one another commands in the Bible that tell us how to relate to each other that you cannot fulfill when you're isolated, when you're all alone. God wants us to be together. There's an old group from the 60s had a song. It said, "One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do." Well, as we look to Genesis, this is the way God says it in Genesis 2:18. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.'" It's not good to be alone. Well, welcome to Stronger Together Sunday. God wants us to have relationship. And let me pray and ask that God would speak to your heart, whether you're sitting in your living room or in this auditorium here. Let's ask God to speak to us and to give us guidance this morning. Dear Father, as the psalmist said, "Open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of your law." God, we pray for your blessing upon this time, upon our hearts, our families, our church, our community. Remind us that we are stronger together. In Jesus' name, amen. If we go back to the first few chapters of the Bible tells us that we are created in the image of God. God created us because He wanted to have a relationship with us. He created us. He had so much love to share. He shared it with the Trinity. He created the angelic beings. He could demonstrate His love, but He wanted a being that would choose to love Him and that He could choose to love. He is so loving, He just wanted to have a relationship. And God created us in His image. We are like God. We'll never be God, but we have similarities to God. And God created us for relationship as well. We want to be loved, and we desire to love. You see, community is stronger together. The church is stronger together. Our families are stronger together. We could just say we are stronger together. That's why we're encouraging you to be involved in church. That's why we're encouraging you to get connected to a small group. September 27th, that week, we're starting our new small groups, and we think it's important to sign up. Go to our website, and there's a link that you can go to get connected with a smaller group, not just to get ministered in a larger setting, but to build relationships in a smaller setting. That's why after 6 months, March 15th to September 13th, we have not been able to have our kids program, but the Impact Kids Wing is open. Aren't you excited about that? I know our kids are as well. An incredible team that has come together to fix the building up, enlisting our different teams, and we encourage you to get involved in ministering to our kids. What an incredible group that is. And we live in a society that has been talking about for 6 months physical or social distancing, right? That we've got to be separate from people. Maybe school is online and work is online and church is online. But it is true, all of us need socialization. God did not create us to live alone. He does not want us to be isolated. Greg Hurst, a founding person in our church, such a wonderful guy, had a little sign that says this: there are no lone rangers in Christianity. How true that is. Someone said even the lone ranger had Tonto. I was talking to a guy one day, and I know he watched church on TV, and so I said to him, hey, did you go to church today? Because I know he didn't. I'd always mess with him. Did you go to church today? He said, yeah. I went to church. I said, where'd you go? He said, Charles Stanley. I was watching Charles Stanley on TV. And man, what a great person to listen to and to watch, Charles Stanley. But that's not what church is it? The word church means to assemble, to gather together. We've got to be connected with people. Now, some cannot attend right now. Some shouldn't attend at this point. But we do understand that we are stronger together. We need each other. And the isolation of this season, you have probably seen it in people's lives, whether it's a coworker, a family member, some individual. It just seems everything is multiplying. Stresses are escalated. When people go through something, when they're alone, it's so much more difficult. And it seems like it takes them to a much deeper level, a much more difficult circumstance because of being alone. Elijah was in a cave. Adam was in a garden, and maybe you've spent 6 months in your home, but we are better together. Separation is difficult. Isolation is trying. Think of POWs, what they had to go through, or somebody that's in a jail setting, that they are in solitary confinement, or individuals that just end up going to their room. In the way they're dealing with their depression and anger and nervousness and hurt. Now, let me say this. Solitude is good. Solitude is a personal choice to get away, to have some downtime, to say, you know what, silence is golden. It's those times that we recharge, that we are replenished, that we can have that downtime just to restore ourselves. That is a vital part of life. But that is very different. Solitude and isolation are two different worlds away. God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. He created man with a need to interact with others. God created us for relationship. He created community. He created family. And he created the church. These things are to remove loneliness. That's why we call ourselves the Choice Family. So we can be connected because we are stronger together. But something happened at the beginning of the Bible. God created this place called paradise. He designed the family. He brought Adam and Eve together, had a marriage ceremony, and he said, I want you to stay together. But something very negative came into the world. Mankind started learning some defense mechanisms. Remember when the Bible says, Adam and Eve, if you eat of that tree, you will die? The word death just simply means separation. They were going to die physically down the road, but immediately there was a separation between them and God and even between them and each other. If you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Genesis 2:17, because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, what did Adam do when he ate of that fruit? Well, if we look to Job chapter 31, verse 33, it tells us, Job said, if I have covered my transgression as Adam, what did Adam do? As soon as he sinned, he covered up himself by hiding my iniquity in my bosom. See, there's a defense mechanism that all of us have, and it can be used for good, but often it comes to our own hurt and harm. This defense mechanism means we cover up. We want to pull away. What do you want to do when you're hurt? If you get hurt at church, you say, I don't want to go to church anymore. If you get hurt in a family, you say, I don't want to be open to that person anymore. If you got hurt by your parents, you don't want to be close to your parents, right? What do? We want to pull away. That's a defense mechanism, and certainly we understand that, but when we continue pulling away and pulling away and pulling away, when we cover ourselves up, the next thing that happens, we end up in isolation. Maybe you're even married, and you say, but yeah, I'm still lonely. Maybe you have siblings around, but you still like to just go to your bedroom and spend time alone. Not in solitude, but in isolation. Maybe you're a part of this church, but you're really not connected. You just kind of come in and leave, and you don't have those relationships. See, these are vital things in our life. Isolation is bad because when emotional difficulties come, it is compounded. We've seen that with people with addictions. When they're isolated, those triggers are more easily to fall. Again, in Genesis 2:25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Could you imagine what paradise was like? This beautiful place, they could have anything they wanted except one tree. They could do whatever in this beautiful place called paradise, this place of joy. They were totally together. They were not ashamed of each other. They loved each other. They could be real in their presence together. They were totally naked and not ashamed. This realness, this openness and honesty. They were vulnerable and they weren't afraid. They loved each other. They cared for each other. They were in complete relationship together. But then chapter 3 comes. Look at verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate, and she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So they disobeyed God. God said, if you disobey, if you eat of that one tree, you will surely die. One day there was going to be a separation of their soul and their body, a physical death, but now there's a separation between them and God and a separation that's going to come between Adam and Eve. Look at verse 7. Then the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. See, up to this point, there was no embarrassment at all. They just enjoyed spending time together. But when sin came in, they started being self-conscious. They realized their nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. As soon as sin entered the world, what did they do? They started covering themselves up. That was their defense mechanism. They put walls up around themselves. They had masks over them. They wanted to cover up their true self. We could say that they were performing image management. One day, Paul and I were in D.C., and I think we had some friends we were showing some of the monuments and stuff, and there was a very attractive lady walking down the sidewalk, but one thing about her, she was miserable. She was not happy at all. I mean, she seemed pretty angry, and she was walking down, but when she wanted to do a selfie in front of some monument or whatever, she would put this big smile on, click, really nice picture, and then she'd get mad again and just start walking through there. It was just like, are you serious? So, you know what you call that? That's image management. You're grumpy in life, that's your true self, but you're going to, in your social media, look pretty good, like everything's happy, everything's great, everything's wonderful. Maybe you did it this morning. You walk into church, how you doing? Great, wonderful, praise the Lord, right? Everything's great, when it really isn't. Now, let me remind you, when somebody says, how are you doing, they're not really asking you how you're doing, right? Okay, they're just saying, hi, how are you? And probably just somebody you see occasionally and they ask how you're doing, you probably can't open your heart up and say, let me tell you how I'm doing. And they're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that, right? But you've got to have people in your life that when they say, how are you doing, that you can be real, raw, and righteous with. You've got to have people that you can connect with. You know, we live in three worlds: our public world, how others would describe us; our private world, how our family and our close friends would describe us; and then our secret world, the way we know about ourselves and would describe us. When I do counseling, a lot of times I ask somebody, how do you think God would describe you? Because it tells me a lot about their self-talk. How would you describe yourself? These three different worlds. In the image management world, we can look good. We can be very professional on our job. We can be very put together, like our life is great, everything's wonderful. We can walk into church. We can have on our social media that life is fantastic. That can be our public world, but that's not necessarily who we are. Who I am in my private world. You see, a lot of times young people were brought up in church, and in the public light, mom and dad looked really spiritual, but in the private world, in their home, not so much. They acted very differently. And they're not in church today. Why? Because they said, my parents were hypocrites. My parents put on a mask. They weren't real. God wants us to be real in our public world and our private world. And by the way, let me say, I'm not saying if you're a jerk in your private world, you should be a jerk in the public world. That's not the point of this, all right? Be real and raw, but also be righteous. You need to grow in your faith and be good in all of these areas. But even beyond your private world, there is your secret world. Maybe your spouse doesn't know about your secret world. Maybe your parents don't know about the secret world. Can be in your thoughts, can be in your heart. You see, we have this image management. We put walls around ourselves. But who are we actually? In Matthew 12, it describes it like this in verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. All of us have this treasure, this storage place in our mind and in our heart. Things that go on in our secret life. They will be exposed one day. You can't hold on to them forever. You can't have those walls up forever. And the goal of life is to have integrity, which means we are the same throughout. In my public world, my private world, and my secret world. But Adam and Eve started covering themselves up. In our storage or within our treasure, maybe we have shame or wounds or fears or desires or anger. And we've got to bring those things out of our secret world and to be dealt with. Adam and Eve sinned and they started covering themselves up. Immediately, they realized their nakedness. They had to put clothes on. No longer were they vulnerable to each other. They were not real. Maybe they started blaming each other, and they were upset, and they saw some flaws in each other, and they started pointing fingers at each other instead of dealing with their own junk. And so they covered themselves up in verse 7, and then notice verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what did they do? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Their separation from God. Now, sin is a personal choice that we make. But sin was also brought into all of our lives, the sin nature. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, it passed down upon all of us. We entered into a world with a desire to do the wrong things. We entered into this world with this bad defense mechanism where we isolate at times. We entered into this world not just choosing to sin, but already having a sin nature. And notice what happens. Verse 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" That's a great question. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, "Why did you?" He wasn't looking for information. God already knew that. You know, a lot of times kids do something wrong. "Why did you do that?" Well, maybe they don't even know why they did it, right? They're just childish or foolish at times. Why did you do that? That's not the best question. He said, where are you? Not why did you? He wasn't looking for a reason. He didn't even say, how could you? That's a condemning statement, right? How could you do this to your family? How could you do this to yourself? He wasn't trying to condemn. It wasn't about information or condemnation, but it was about reconciliation. He said, where are you? See, God knew where they were. He knew that they were hiding behind those trees. He just wanted Adam to be real with himself. And today, I don't know where you are, whether you're on site or online. Where are you spiritually? Adam and Eve didn't have to go crawling back to God with a sacrifice. God came to them in the cool of the day. He is a restoring God. He wants to reconcile relationships. He wants there to be relationship. That's why he created us. That's why we're here, to love him and to be loved by him. He has so much love that he just wants to shed upon every one of us. God wants to have a relationship with us. But sometimes shame keeps us from that relationship. Sometimes it's blame that keeps us from that. Often it's fear that keeps them from that. And God comes to us and he says, where are you? And he takes a coat of skin and he clothes Adam and Eve. He makes the sacrifice that was necessary. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus died for you and I. From the beginning of the Bible, the gospel already coming out clearly, that sacrifice, an innocent animal, the innocent dying for the sinful. And Jesus died for you and I that we could have eternal life. Not by being a Baptist, not by getting baptized, not by being a good person, not by being at church on Sunday, Stronger Together Sunday, not by obeying the Ten Commandments, but through our faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in him through his death, burial, and resurrection. He wants a relationship with us, and he wants us to have relationships with each other. But when I have all this junk hidden, and I have all these walls up, and I'm not real with my spouse, my parents, my kids, my friends, you really can't have the right kind of relationship. We're stronger together when we communicate. Communication's a two-way street. It's when we talk and it's when we listen. It's when we share what's going on within us and the other person is respectfully listening and the other person begins talking with us and we're respectfully listening, not waiting for us to speak, not wanting to comment, not trying to prove them wrong and that we're right, but it's an open relationship between two or more individuals working together because we are stronger together. Let me just encourage you today. Take the risk of relationship. There's two things you can do in life. You can either be hurt or be lonely. Because if you choose relationship, I can guarantee you one thing, you will be hurt. And if you don't want to be hurt, you pull back from relationship and then you're alone. That's not God's plan. He said from the beginning, it's not good to be alone. Take some of those walls down today. Those defense mechanisms you have up. Somebody let you down? Take those walls down. Forgive. Get rid of the bitterness. Because we really are stronger together. Let's bow our heads for just a moment as the team comes up. That last song we sang, he is for you. He is for you. If God is for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? Friend, maybe in your heart right now, There's never been that time that you trusted Jesus as your Savior. Would you call upon Him? Just as God came in the cool of the day to Adam and Eve, God is coming to you. He wants to live with you and to be within you. And He said He will never leave you or forsake you. We mess up, we've got plenty of flaws, but He is there to continue to love us. Adam and Eve wanted to blame, wanted to shame, wanted to live in fear. But God provided the sacrifice. If you're not certain of heaven, why don't you right now just call upon the name of Jesus. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that You love me. Thank You for dying on the cross. Would You come into my life? Forgive me. So I can go to heaven when I die. Did you make that decision this morning? Let us know. Let a friend know. Let your parents know that you asked Jesus to be your Savior. You'll never be alone. But what about your human relationships? You could be a Christian and still be lonely. You could be married and still be lonely. You could have a lot of people around you and have all kind of followers on social media and still be lonely. Is there some walls that you need to take down? You see, we're stronger together. Satan wants to isolate us as a roaring lion. He wants to devour us. He wants you to isolate in your bedroom. He wants you to isolate in image management. He wants you to put that mask on and keep it on and never be real with people. But until we're real, until we're willing to take a risk, we can really never enter into relationship. Dear God, may You strengthen our church this morning on Stronger Together Sunday. Would You strengthen marriages this morning? God, I pray that You would provide true friendships for some people. Grant them wisdom about who they should befriend, how they should befriend, and what kind of friend to have. God, we know that there can be wrong relationships that get established, wrong dating relationships, wrong places to be. So God, grant us wisdom. Help us to reach out to some others today. May we think of those that are hurting, those that are struggling, those that can't be with us in this assembly today. I pray for those listening online that You would help them to stay connected, to get connected to a small group. Lord, may You bless so we can be stronger together. And God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Let's stand for this song here. Hey, He's for you. We just sang that. Let's just sing this song to the Lord in a moment of worship or a time of confession. You can come to these crosses or at home. You can just pray quietly where you are. Let's deal with the Lord so we can be stronger together.
The storm surrounding me. Let they see to still, the rage in me to still every wave at your name, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. The darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus. Jesus, you silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, 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 you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifted high.
Your head. You have any fears you need to cast upon Jesus? Any requests for peace, love, and joy? Reconciliation in some relationship? Is God calling you to take that first step? Whether it be in your walk with Jesus Christ or in relationship to somebody that's made in His image. God, may you grant us peace. Help us to deal with our fears, our insecurities, our weaknesses that have come from our forefathers, Adam and Eve. And I pray we would live out our identity in you, that we would see ourselves as saints, as righteous ones, that we would be reminded of your acceptance, your love, your goodness, your promise to give us life and life more abundant. I pray for those that aren't experiencing that right now, that you would give them meaningful relationships, spiritual relationships, to help them to grow and to become everything that you're calling them to be. And God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.